March 17th. Our reading in the Old Testament comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 26, verses 1 through 51. These verses we'll read are just full of information about the clans. The purpose of the book of Numbers was to tell the story of how Israel prepared to enter the Promised Land, how they sinned and were punished, and how they prepared to try again. The book's author, of course, is Moses. The original audience, the people of Israel. The book of Numbers was written between the years 1450 to 1410 BC. It spans 40 years. It was written in the wilderness during Israel's wanderings, somewhere in the Sinai Peninsula. The setting here is a vast desert of the Sinai region, as well as lands just south and east of Canaan. One of the key verses in the entire book of Numbers came back in chapter 14, and it says, "Not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have all seen my glorious presence," of course this is the Lord speaking, "and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness, but again and again they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it." Now, of course, every parent knows the shrill whine of a young child, a slow, high-pitched complaint that grates on the eardrums and aggravates the soul. The tone of voice is difficult to bear, but the real irritation is the underlying cause, discontentment and disobedience. As the children of Israel journeyed from the foot of Mount Sinai to the land of Canaan, well, they grumbled, whined, and complained at every turn. They focused on their present discomforts. Faith had fled, and they added an extra 40 years to their trip. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but if you rebel, fight against God, get lost in your own sin and selfishness, it may take God a number of years, taking you on a long, long, circuitous journey to bring you around finally to His will. You know, I've often prayed and asked God to reveal His will to me and asked Him to forgive me for the sins of my youth and to restore what was lost through my own selfishness and sin. That's what the people of Israel had to face, and this chapter we'll be reading today is just part of the lineage of all the tribes of Israel. So let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 17th, the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 26, verses 1 through 51. After the plague had ended, the Lord said to Moses and to Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, "From the whole community of Israel, record the names of all the warriors by their families. List all the men 20 years old or older who are able to go to war. So there on the plains of Moab, beside the Jordan River, across from Jericho, Moses and Eleazar the priest issued these instructions to the leaders of Israel. List all the men of Israel 20 years old and older, just as the Lord commanded Moses. This is the record of all the descendants of Israel who came out of Egypt. These were the clans descended from the sons of Reuben, Jacob's oldest son. The Hanokite clan, named after their ancestor Hanok. The Paluite clan, named after their ancestor Palu. The Hezronite clan, named after their ancestor Hezron. The Carmite clan, named after their ancestor Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. Their registered troops numbered 43,730. Paul was the ancestor of Eliab, and Eliab was the father of Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. This Dathan and Abiram are the same community leaders who conspired with Korah against Moses and Aaron, rebelling against the Lord. But the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them with Korah, and fire devoured 250 of their followers. This served as a warning to the entire nation of Israel. However, the sons of Korah did not die that day. These were the clans descended from the sons of Simeon. The Jemuelite clan, named after their ancestor Jemuel. The Jamanite clan, named after their ancestor Jamin. The Jachinite clan, named after their ancestor Jachin. The Zorahite clan, named after their ancestor Zohar. The Shaulite clan, named after their ancestor Shaul. These were the clans of Simeon. Their registered troops numbered 22,200. These were the clans descended from the sons of Gad. the Ziphonite clan, named after their ancestor Ziphon, the Haggite clan, named after their ancestor Haggai, the Shunite clan, named after their ancestor Shunai, the Osnite clan, named after their ancestor Osni, the Erite clan, named after their ancestor Eri, the Eridite clan, named after their ancestor Erodai, the Erolite clan, named after their ancestor Eroli. These were the clans of Gad. Their registered troops numbered 40,500. Judah had two sons, Ur and Onan, who had died in the land of Canaan. These were the clans descended from Judah's surviving sons. The Shelonite clan, named after their ancestor Shelah. The Perizzite clan, named after their ancestor Perez. The Zerahite clan, named after their ancestor Zerah. These were the sub-clans descended from the Perizzites. The Hezronites, named after their ancestor Hezron. The Hamulites, named after their ancestor Hamul. These were the clans of Judah. Their registered troops numbered 76,500. These were the clans descended from the sons of Issachar. The Tolaite clan, named after their ancestor Tola. The Puite clan, named after their ancestor Puah. The Jashubite clan, named after their ancestor Jashub. The Shimronite clan, named after their ancestor Shimron. These were the clans of Issachar. Their registered troops numbered 64,300. These were the clans descended from the sons of Zebulun. The Seredite clan, named after their ancestor Sered. The Elonite clan, named after their ancestor Elon. The Jalilite clan, named after their ancestor Jalil. These were the clans of Zebulun. Their registered troops numbered 60,500. Two clans were descended from Joseph through Manasseh and Ephraim. These were the clans descended from Manasseh. The Makerite clan, named after their ancestor Maker. The Gileadite clan, named after their ancestor Gilead, Maker's son. These were the subclans descended from the Gileadites. The Iezerites, named after their ancestor Iezer. The Helekites, named after their ancestor Helek. The Azraelites, named after their ancestor Azrael. The Shechemites, named after their ancestor Shechem. The Shemidaites, named after their ancestor Shemida. The Hepherites, named after their ancestor Hepher. One of Hepher's descendants, Zelophehad, had no sons, but his daughters' names were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These were the clans of Manasseh. Their registered troops numbered 52,700. These were the clans descended from the sons of Ephraim. The Shuthelahite clan, named after their ancestor Shuthelah. The Becherite clan, named after their ancestor Becher. The Tahanite clan, named after their ancestor Tahan. This was the subclan descended from the Shuthelahite clan, named after their ancestor Shuthelah. This was the subclan descended from the Shuthelahites. The Eranites, named after their ancestor Iran. These were the clans of Ephraim. Their registered troops numbered 32,500. These clans of Manasseh and Ephraim were all descendants of Joseph. These were the clans descended from the sons of Benjamin. The Belahite clan, named after their ancestor Bela. The Ashbelite clan, named after their ancestor Ashbel. The Ahiramite clan, named after their ancestor Ahiram. The Shufamite clan, named after their ancestor Shufam. The Hufamite clan, named after their ancestor Hufam. These were the subclans descended from the Belahites. The Ardites, named after their ancestor Ard. The Naamites, named after their ancestor Naaman. These were the clans of Benjamin. Their registered troops numbered 45,600. These were the clans descended from the sons of Dan. The Shuhamite clan, named after their ancestor Shuham. These were the Shuhamite clans of Dan. Their registered troops numbered 64,400. These were the clans descended from the sons of Asher. The Imnite clan, named after their ancestor Imnah. The Ishvite clan, named after their ancestor Ishvi. The Berite clan, named after their ancestor Beriah. These were the subclans descended from the Berites. The Heberites, named after their ancestor Heber. the Malchielites, named after their ancestor Malchiel. Asher also had a daughter named Seirah. These were the clans of Asher. Their registered troops numbered 53,400. These were the clans descended from the sons of Naphtali. The Jazeelite clan, named after their ancestor Jazeel. The Gunite clan, named after their ancestor Gunai. The Jezerite clan, named after their ancestor Jezer. The Shilamite clan, named after their ancestor Shillem. These were the clans of Naphtali. Their registered troops numbered 45,400. In summary, the registered troops of all Israel numbered 601,730. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative in Scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 36 through 52. Here's an overview of what we'll be reading in Scripture today here in the New Testament. Although Simeon and Anna were very old, they had never lost their hope that they would see the Messiah. Led by the Holy Spirit, they were among the first to bear witness to Jesus. In the Jewish culture, elders were respected. Thus, because of Simeon's and Anna's ages, their prophecies carried extra weight. Now, in contrast, our society values youthfulness over wisdom, and contributions by the elderly are often ignored. As Christians, we should reverse those values whenever and wherever we can. Encourage older people to share their wisdom and experience. Listen carefully when they speak. Offer them your friendship and help them find ways to continue to serve God. Now, Anna was called a prophet, indicating that she was unusually close to God. Prophets did not necessarily predict the future. Their main role was to speak for God, proclaiming His truth. Now, did Mary and Joseph return immediately to Nazareth, or did they remain in Bethlehem for a time? Apparently, there is a gap of several years between verses 38 and 39 that we'll read here today. Ample time for them to find a place to live in Bethlehem, flee to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath, and return to Nazareth when it was safe to do so. Well, at age 12, Jesus was considered almost an adult, so he probably didn't spend a lot of time with his parents during the festival. Those who attended these festivals often traveled in caravans for protection from robbers along the Palestine roads. The women and children usually would travel at the front of the caravan, with the men bringing up the rear. A 12-year-old boy conceivably could have been in either group, so both Mary and Joseph probably assumed that Jesus was with the other one. But when the caravan left Jerusalem, Jesus stayed behind, absorbed in his discussion with the religious leaders. Mary had to let go of her child and let him become a man, God's son, the Messiah. Fearful that she hadn't been careful enough with this God-given child, she searched frantically for him, but she was looking for a boy, not the young man who was in the temple astounding the religious leaders with his questions. Well, this is the first mention here of Jesus' awareness that he was God's son. But even though he knew his real father, Jesus did not reject his earthly parents. He went back to Nazareth with them and lived under their authority for another 18 years. God's people do not despise human relationships or family responsibilities. If the Son of God obeyed his human parents, well, how much more should we honor our family members? Don't use commitment to God's work to justify neglecting your family. All right, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 17th, the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 52. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first, because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Psalm 60, verses 1 through 12. This psalm gives us information about David's reign not found in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel or 1 and 2 Chronicles. Although the setting of the psalm is found in 2 Samuel chapter 8, that passage makes no reference to the fact that David's forces had met some stiff resistance, and apparently even a temporary defeat. You know, the closer we get to God, the more our enemies will attack us because we threaten their evil and selfish way of living. Instead of the wine of blessing, God had given them the cup of his judgment. God's rejection was intended to bring them back to himself. God said the cities and territories of Israel were his, and he knew the future of each of the nations. When the world seems out of control, we must remind ourselves that God owns the cities and knows the future of every nation. God is in control. With God's help, we will gain the victory. Psalm 60, verses 1 through 12. For the choir director, a psalm of David useful for teaching. Regarding the time David fought Aram Naharim and Aram Zobah, and Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt, to be sung to the tune, "Lily of the Testimony." You have rejected us, O God, and broken our defenses. You have been angry with us, now restore us to your favor. You have shaken our land and split it open. Seal the cracks, for the land trembles. You have been very hard on us, making us drink wine that sent us reeling. But you have raised a banner for those who fear you, a rallying point in the face of attack. Interlude. Now rescue your beloved people. Answer and save us by your power. God has promised this by his holiness. I will divide up Shechem with joy. I will measure out the valley of Sukkoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh too. Ephraim, my helmet, will produce my warriors, and Judah, my scepter, will produce my kings. But Moab, my wash basin, will become my servant. And I will wipe my feet on Edom and shout in triumph over Philistia. Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will bring me victory over Edom? Have you rejected us, O God? Will you no longer march with our armies? Oh, please help us against our enemies, for all human help is useless. With God's help, we will do mighty things, for he will trample down our foes. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15. There's danger in putting up security for a stranger's debt. It's safer not to guarantee another person's debt.